to Forging Love in Dickhead, dreaming about a Premiership Cup. We love our clubs, but they never win two flags in 100 years. That shit house, if you think we'll be insightful, clever, or just well researched. We're here to say that's not the case, we'll just go out and wing it. We are two guys, one cup.
It is Wednesday, the 1st of September. Oh, yeah, that one day in September, the first day of September. Welcome to Two Guys, One Cup, an AFL adjacent podcast. My name is Will Anderson.
And my name is Will. My name is not Will Anderson. So I'm so thrown by the sight of you miming a sniff. It was just, well, you know what? Like, I haven't seen you do that since your mid 20s, Will.
smelling the grass.
Yeah. Oh, that's what you were doing.
The clippings. Yeah. I was smelling finals football in September, Charlie. That's what I was smelling.
Yeah, I thought you might have been singing, oh, you better take me home tonight. Oh, behind the firelight. Oh, you better take me home tonight. Bevel's bottom boys, you've got the, what is it? You make the rock and roll go round.
Bevo's bottom boys.
Bevo's bottom boys, man. Never in doubt.
Never been prouder to be a bottom boy, as I messaged you on the weekend. I mean, I'm saying it loud, I'm saying it proud. This might be the year for Bevo's bottom boys. So, obviously, we'll get to the games, but I thought we could start, Charlie.
Oh, yes.
You can tell that I'm back interested in football because I'm starting to get my hopes up. I'm starting to build the narratives in my head. You know, like traditionally, the teams that lose in the first week from the top four win in the second week, right? So you know that Brisbane have still got to be favourites going into this game. But they've got a couple of injuries. I mean, it's in Brisbane. It'll be in front of a home crowd. But the Bulldogs, when we won in 2016, we won on the road every week. And we're going to have to do that again. Because if we have to beat Brisbane in Brisbane, we'll have to beat Port Adelaide in Adelaide to get to the grand final if we're going to get to the grand final. So it's all in front of us.
Mm.
This is how we like it, you know? Yeah. Like, we're the bottom boys.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to do it from the bottom. We are Bevo's bottom boys.
So remember your commitment from last week. Mm. You said if they go all the way, you will refer to them all of 2022 as Bevo's bottom boys.
I'm already referring them to Bevo's bottom boys. It took one game, one final, one scoreless half against Essendon in Tasmania for me to be all on board the bottom boys.
Now, did you buy into the schadenfreude, the enjoyment that people got out of Essendon not being able to win yet another final? I mean, to the victor go the spoils, and I know that you are quite sportsmanlike. You never really hold it over people when your team does well. So you didn't.
You know what? Like, some of it is sportsmanship,
yeah.
But some of it is just years of knowing that those comments will come back to haunt me. When you barrack for a team like our team,
yeah,
like, bold statements are not something that you're ever going to get to really live by. So the boldest statement I ever made was they were going to win it in 2016, and it happened. So I've put my bold statements away. I'm just on board Bevo's bottom boys. But I've been scoping out the opposition. So I've gone to Twitter because I was like, Charlie Cameron's been playing really well of late, and he's probably the major threat, you know, that the Bulldogs are going to have to counter if we're going to.
He was electric in the first half against the Demons before they put the foot down.
We neglected to talk about this a few weeks ago, but it does not mean that I did not enjoy it, which was that there was a great viral video that went around on Instagram of Charlie Cameron at training in the weights room, dancing to the, what was the name of that band from Brisbane, Darren Hayes?
Savage Garden.
Dancing to the Savage Garden song Truly, Madly, Deeply. And he's singing it in the gym with the boys, entertaining everybody. And then on that weekend, his song that they played when he kicked goals was Truly, Madly, Deeply by Savage Garden. And he kicked five goals or six goals. Like, I heard that song a lot. And I was like, this is a good bit. I'm enjoying this whole niche bit that is going on right now. So I thought, well, what has Charles Cameron been up to on Twitter? So I thought,
Charles in charge of social media.
How serious is he? Do you think, okay, bit of a hypothetical question to start off.
Mm.
Do you think coming into the finals, Charles Cameron ups his social media game, or does he get off like social media street?
Interesting, isn't it? Because You'd say that Faggs is an old school kind of coach. Faggs is the kind of coach who would bust out like a Yabby Jeans thing, which is like no sex before a final. You know, yeah. Read that story about Yabby used to say to the Hawthorn players. I don't know if Faggs would come out. Faggs is a bit too shy to say no sex. You know, he might out and say no heavy petting.
Faggs would let you do it in the rooms. he'd just like shut the door. if that's what you need to get warmed up, that is fine. But just shut the door, please.
I think Faggs would, in that very fatherly way, would put the responsibility back on the players to say, you've got bigger fish to fry, you know, and we need to show a united front. So no bit of scallywag on your gadgets and your gizmos, he would say. Put your gadgets and gizmos away. And none of that Facebooking or MySpacing. That's what I reckon.
Exactly. Get off your TikTok. Yeah. Get ready for the big game. All right. Well, so what's your guess? Does Charles Cameron up his Twitter game? Is he tweeting more often or less often come finals?
Less.
Absolutely 100% correct. Less often. In fact, he has not tweeted since August 21st.
All right.
So this is a guy. In fact, his last two tweets are very much of a time that doesn't exist anymore because the most recent tweet, the one that he went with on August the 21st, two words, of course. One name. So it much in his usual oeuvre of just giving a shout out to somebody that he enjoys. So you've got to remember, this is what we know about Charles Cameron.
Yeah, love sport.
Minimalist when it comes to words. Mm. Absolutely supportive of other sports people, particularly people of colour or Indigenous sports people. And he loves to give someone a shout out by just putting his name and just being like, that's the tweet.
It's got to be Eddie Betts, right?
Eddie Betts. Ding, 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 ding. August 21st, the entire tweet was Eddie Betts.
All in caps at least?
Nope. Literally just the man's name, as you would write it in almost any circumstance.
But a gif of Eddie like celebrating.
Nope.
A photo, of Eddie, of them playing for the Crows. No, something else. Not just Will. Come on. Is it just the words Eddie Betts?
11 letters. Eddie Betts. 647 likes. All right. Now, Charlie. August 19th. So these are the only two most recent tweets.
Yeah.
Now, again, shouldn't be too hard for you to guess, knowing what we know about Charles Cameron and his tweeting output. So it is a shout out to a sporting team.
Sporting team.
Who achieved something pretty amazing.
Yeah, the Boomers getting the bronze. And
oh, no, we've covered the Boomers. Oh, Boomers is about a week back.
Oh, okay.
I can give you some of his Boomer stuff. Let's go Australia. Hashtag Boomers. That was his Boomers tweet.
Paddy Mills must have got a shout out though.
All right. Paddy Mills. Paddy Mills did get a shout out. I'll give you. Okay. Let's find the Paddy Mills shout out because there was one. All right. This is his Paddy Mills. August the 7th. Game day, Bala. At Paddy Mills, hashtag Boomers. That's a big tweet for
that's
Charles.
That's a lot. He must have needed a rest after that.
All right, I'll All give right, you a clue.
Okay, yeah, give me a clue.
Yeah, so it's a team that is particularly close to his heart.
Okay. Is it a team that he's played for? Is it the Crows?
No. But there is one sporting team in particular that he tweets about.
Is it NBA team?
No, Australian. Australia.
Australian team. Oh, it's the Storm.
It is the Storm. So he ats the Storm.
Yeah.
And it is five words. One is a number. So it starts with a number and then four words. About something the Melbourne Storm achieved on August 19th.
Okay.
August 19th is also a clue.
August 19th. So is that the... What happens August 19th? Is that the last round? Did they finish on top of the ladder? Number one, baby, go Storm.
They did finish on top of the ladder, I believe, the Melbourne Storm. Right? They did something remarkable this season. They did lose their last game.
Yeah. He said it's on one August... number at the start. So it's not like 19 and 1 or something like that.
19 two. Is the first oh,
19 and 19 and 1, 19 and 0, 19 and 2, 19 and 3, 19 and 4, 19 and 5, 19 and 6. What is it?
19 in a row, baby, oh, at Storm. Now, this is a much anticipated follow-up
oh, yep.
to his August 12th tweet. 18 in a row, baby, at Storm.
Well, he's got a format. He's got a format, and I like that. He sticks to the same format. You know what you're going to get with Charles Cameron.
Anyway, the fact that he is off social media is a warning sign to me. It feels like he's got his game face on.
Yeah, I think that's good. I mean, but hang on. Was he off social media last week before the
oh, first... yeah, he was.
He oh. was?
Yeah, he was, yeah.
So I don't think you've got anything to worry about. I think it's... Yeah. I think maybe what you should worry about is if he does start tweeting again, because I think there would be a lot of... They'd be very tense at the lines. They went out in straight sets 2 years ago. Won yeah. one, lost one last year when everything was being playing in Queensland. As I mentioned, Will, last week, it's like Roman Reigns when he took on John Cena at SummerSlam. All the pressure is on the Lions now. The Bulldogs can just like waltz into this game. No one expected you to even get through that game against the Bombers. I think you were underdogs, weren't you? Literally underdogs.
Bevo's bottom boys. Bevo's I don't bottom know if boys. We were actually. I think going into the game, the Bulldogs were.
Well, the rain helped you. Let's actually talk about the game. The rain. The
I'm
rain.
I'm happy to talk about the game.
It it leveled things out a little bit. I mean, Essendon started the game pretty well, but I don't know. I just always I know I was playing up the Bevo's bottom boys, but I also just think that. Again, it's the pressure on the team. The psychological pressure plays a lot when it comes to finals. And you guys have been there before. You played an elimination final last year. You won a premiership 4 years before that, 5 years before that. So I think that counts for a lot.
I think it was not the game we wanted, but it was the game we needed.
Yeah.
We didn't want to be playing in an elimination final in Tasmania, but circumstances came together to make it. What the Bulldogs needed to show was not that they were a skillful team. The Bulldogs needed to come out and show that they gave a shit,
yeah.
that they really fucking wanted it. And that's what it felt like. It felt like they came out and they, regardless of whether they have the skills to beat some of the other teams, they came out and looked like a team that wanted to win.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also because you have so many Rolls Royces in your side, so many people who glide across the ground. Like Bontempelli or like Aaron Norton, you know, who's an aerialist. And so when the rain comes down, you're like, well, that's gonna rule them out of the game. But to see that the way that they lifted and played so well, I mean, Aaron Norton especially, I thought that he was going to be like have no impact in the game, but he was really good.
Well, and again, warmed up as it went on.
Yeah.
That was the nice thing about it as a Bulldogs fan. All those things that you wanted to see working a little bit better started to work a little bit better. It was a great game because it was really tense for that first half, and Essendon are a really good team. And they were up against us as well. They had some unfortunate outs. And like, you know, like there's been a lot of complaints about Cody Waitman
yeah,
and the free kicks.
So weird, don't you think? Like,
well, here's what I would say is leave fucking Cody out of it because you can debate some of those free kicks. In fact, one of them at least was absolutely not a free kick. It was a mistake. The umpire made a mistake. And one of them was line ball. And the other two, I think, actually were free kicks, right? But regardless of that, none of them were Cody faking for a free kick.
No.
In every single one of those things, he had put himself in a contest, which then led to a free kick. That's not his fault.
Yeah.
You can disagree with the umpires, but don't, like, people were taking it out on Cody Waitman, like, well, he was like faking for free kicks.
Yeah.
Mate, he didn't fake for the free kicks. You know what he did? He got free kicks on the fucking boundary and then kicked goals.
Yeah.
Like a little fucking champion with a big fucking smile on his face.
But
I love Cody Waitman so much.
They're also trying to class him as like a Selwood kind of thing where he was using it tactically. And it's like, no, he wasn't using it tactically. He just plays the ball first. And what does your junior coach say to you? Get to the ball first, you win a free kick. And that's what happened. Whether or not the free kick was there, he was putting himself in the position to win the free kick.
Well, this is the other thing. It's not his fault he's tiny.
Yeah.
Like Andre the Giant in The Princess Bride, it's not his fault that he is a giant, right? It's not Cody's like problem that when somebody pushes him, he like goes 3 meters. Because the way he plays, he is not a little sort of, you know, out the back and kicking goals guy. He's a lead up, mark up, get yourself into contest forward.
Yeah.
That is actually how he plays. He plays a big person's game against people who are much bigger than him most of the fucking time.
But he's also incredibly annoying. He has that...
Because he's so happy.
Well, yeah, but it's also that... It's got that forward pocket, you know, little buzzing around. Like Eddie Betts had it, Stephen Milne had it. It's that annoying Jeff Farmer, skillful forward pocket pest. He looks and behaves like a pest. Like a flea. Literally like a flea. It's like he jumps on your back and you just want to swat him and get him off. And so I think that people, as football fans, I think we are preconditioned to loathe forward pockets, cheeky forward pockets from other teams. It's just,
you know why? Because forward pockets still play like we all played footy at fucking lunchtime junior at level. School.
Yeah.
Like we hate them because we want to be them.
Yeah, that's right.
Like all the other players are now in patterns and defensive running and shit. And forwards, like particularly, you know, at school where you would play maybe out to the 50-meter arc, you know, so you'd play one of those games where you're both kicking towards the same goal and you just have to kick it out beyond the arc and bring it back in again. Everyone's just trying to be Cody Waitman.
Yeah.
Like we hate these guys because they are the purest form of football. And he seems to be really fucking enjoying it as well. Of course he is. He's taking hangers. He's kicking goals from the boundary. He's having the best time of his life.
Now, I saw that he has taken on the moniker of the flea.
Yeah.
But we've established that he's no relation to Dale Waitman, haven't we? Have we established that?
Yeah, I think he's no relation. I mean, I don't know if there's a distant relation, but it's not a close, close family.
Are you allowed to take... Like, I mean, Dale Waitman was a beloved Richmond player, best and fairest winner, captain of the club, state honours, all that kind of stuff. I mean,
there's a new Flea Waitman, mate. You're the old Flea Waitman. This is the reboot of Flea Waitman.
Like, if a player started playing now whose surname was Lockett, but was no relation to Tony Lockett, can you call him Plugger? I don't think Plugger. You can. I mean, I know there's a ton of roos, like Nick Revolt was a roo, Mark Rusciuto was a roo. That's different because I think that's just one of the, if your name begins
But you're talking iconic nicknames.
Iconic nicknames. That, like Flea is not derivative of Waitman. He was called the Flea because he was small and a tiny little rover and looked like a flea. And I think that the Bulldogs...
But also he had no weight man. It was in his name.
No, you don't understand. When he would hit the nightclubs, he wouldn't wait, man. I'm not one. We're lining up to get in the tunnel. No way. I don't wait, man. but you can't just take. I mean, A, it's disappointing to know that the Bulldogs players have not used the 6 degrees rule to get to a nickname. Like, that's lazy. They've just looked. They haven't even played off the Waitman at all. They've just looked to a more famous. They've gone, oh, this guy's got a nickname already. We'll just use that one. So that's not cool, man. You've got to think a bit, get creative.
Yeah, I think with like Nathan Lyon, the Australian spinner, you know, his nickname is Gary. So he is, it's, you know, like.
I didn't know that. Oh, that's pretty funny.
You have got to listen to some cricket commentary. I know it's not really your sport, but there'll be some highlights. If you just on YouTube go to Nice One Gary and like play that, you'll just say, because that is essentially all the wicketkeeper says all day. Nice one, Gary. Old Gary. Nice one, Gary. And so that's fine because the nickname is derived off another person's name. That's the joke, right? But Flea should be...
But hang on, but can I just ask on that, on the Nathan line, surely there's a bunch of players in the Australian team who are from Queensland and New South Wales who are like, what? I don't get it. Why are you calling him Gary?
Oh, mate, well, how do you think they feel when they go to Pakistan or the West Indies or somewhere? And they're like, why is his nickname Gary? Well, this is an Australian TV show called On the Couch. So, Flea, I think if you're going to, if you're another Waitman and you're also Flea-like, they should have chosen a moniker that was like Flea. So it's a tribute to Flea Waitman, but it's not Flea.
You're evolving the nickname. Like it's almost
so like if
Flea
John Longmire,
too.
If there was another like horse who was like another Longmire came in and they would call him like
Pony.
Foal or Pony or whatever. Yeah. Like he's a,
Well, they should call him the Tick. Because the Bulldogs have blue, like he's like the Tick. And like ticks jump around, they get in your skin. You're not a flea. He's the, like, would you say like a tick is worth, like a flea's annoying, but a tick will kill you. He should be the Tick.
Or like, but doesn't a tick kind of, it doesn't kind of buzz around, it more like burrows in.
Yeah, but that's how he burrows under the packs.
Gets under your skin.
He gets under your
skin.
Like
a tick.
Like a tick, he should be
the tick.
The
tick. Yeah, okay, all right. Cody the Tick Waitman.
It was a good weekend of football for you because the team that you love and the team that you believe in both had wins. Was that was a bit of a surprise to me. I mean, I tipped Port, but I didn't think they were going to win that easily.
Oh, they were great. That was the team that I believed in that I have not seen. Mm. I mean, I think realistically, it was one of those weeks where we went into it going, I think all these eight teams are pretty even. And yeah, then came out of it going, I reckon two of these teams are heaps better than all the other teams.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Like Geelong, when, you know, when they're all playing well and they're not injured and stuff like that, God, they look good and they just look so experienced and can absorb it all. But then the flip side of that is so bad. They look so slow and old and you just wonder, like, you oscillate with Geelong, don't you? We're like, brilliant, you know, brave recruiting, always trade and recruit for the now. They always just stay at that level. And then you can flip and go, they're insane. Look at this dad's army going out there. They're going to get another year out of these players at the max. And then what, they're going to fall off a cliff.
There are Two-Face from the Seinfeld episode. Like, it just depends what light you see them in. Yeah. Like, you're just like, you're the most beautiful woman. Ah! That's Geelong.
I mean, do you think that they can win it? Could you see them getting to the grand final?
I still do. Well, because they always lose in the first week and they often then win again in the second week. And I think that they're playing, obviously, a team we haven't mentioned, you know, the biggest conversation in football this week yet, but they're playing a team that's going to go in undermanned into that final and they've got a lot of experience. I think they probably still will win. And then, you know, they're right back in it if they win again. So I don't think it's all over for Geelong. I can't imagine a night where so many of their players are going to play so terribly again.
They had
honestly, there were some players where I was like, I think this is the worst game I've ever seen you play for Geelong.
It's a weird stat about Geelong, isn't it? The idea that their home and away record could be so good and then their first week of finals record could be so bad. And I know that football commentators are prone to hyperbole, but you do start to wonder, it's like, okay, I know it's not exactly the same team that's been for the last 11 years, but, you know, pretty much the same core group of players have been there. What is it? What changes in that first week of finals? Like, most teams, like, rise to the occasion, but they always drop that first one. Like, what in the psychology allows that to happen?
I don't know.
It's weird, right?
I mean, I imagine they've thought about it a lot and they don't know. Clearly, they don't know.
Would you even need to address it? Because you go, oh, yeah, yes. Look, do you? Because they still progress. They managed to progress okay. They made a grand final last year. They make brilliant
all the
time. Well,
I guess that's how you'd address it. Like, yeah, but you wouldn't, that's not your strategy. Your strategy isn't to, like, lose the first week. Or maybe it is. Maybe they're like, we want to play every week and that's the best way for us to do it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't think they lost on purpose. Like, no. Like, you couldn't play that bad on purpose. You know what I mean? Like, if Paddy Dangerfield actually was like, I'm going to try to play bad, it would be more obvious than what happened, which was them trying to play well and playing badly. There is a conversation around Paddy this week.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this, about the idea that he tries too hard in finals, like that he doesn't need to be Superman. He doesn't need to put on the cape. He just needs to play how he normally plays and maybe tries too hard. What do you think about that?
I think that's dumb.
Pretty dumb. I think Lee Matthews said it, which was why I was like, okay, well, I can't say that that's dumb because you're Lee Matthews and you don't normally say dumb things, but that sounded a bit dumb to me.
What would Dustin Martin, like, where would Richmond be if Dustin Martin didn't play like the best player on the ground in those three grand finals? Like, I think that if it was a case of he's playing selfishly, which is obviously the, you know, that's the inference by he tries to do too much, but I don't think he does. Like, the skill set, to use a Kane Cord's term, the weapons that Paddy Dangerfield has, not many footballers have. So, okay, he's going to try and explode out of a pack and take on three players to get a clearance, or, you know, he's going to try and fly for a screamer, you know, in the clog up the forward line. But the thing is, he does it, he pulls it off. And I don't know that, you know, just because it's finals, that you'd ask him to temper his game or change. Don't you just want your best players to go out and play their best football?
Yeah, I think so. And he's played good finals before as well. It's not like he has a terrible finals record. I mean, Gary Rowan, again, who goes a bit missing in these occasions, hasn't always. He's had okay days, but there was a few that just did not represent themselves very well. But I think also, like, Lockie Henderson, like, played like a guy who retired 2 years ago. You know, like, it was, I've never seen him play that badly. He's such a reliable player, and he just had one of those nights where he just could not make it work. But they are missing, I think they suffer Geelong from their injuries almost as much as anybody, because Stewart is, you know, as good a backman as there is in the game. Like, I remember that game the Bulldogs played where we just kicked it to him 11 times in the first half. And Tui is, I think, a really valuable player to Geelong. Because, like, that run off the back line, but also he kicks, like, a goal or two a game.
Mm.
Like, he's just, they're missing, I don't think they have the depth in their list, which is probably as a result of, you know, keeping the team at that level for that long. You just end up, you know, without the same depth of a team that's rebuilt. But, I still think they probably will win this weekend.
Do you think there's any team left that playing at the opposite stadium, playing the grand final in WA is an advantage? Does it favour Port because they're closer? Like, it's less travel time? Do you think that there's any advantage to any team?
If the Bulldogs were to make it, I don't think we'd mind it. Like, I think we play pretty well over there, and we don't mind the idea of playing away from home. Mm. But of the teams that are more likely to make it, Port Adelaide or Melbourne, I don't know enough about, like, how those teams play to know if it would be an advantage or not.
Melbourne, it's their premiership to lose, we've established.
They could lose it to Port with no disgrace. But if they lost it to anyone else, I think that you'd start
disgrace.
To go, I think that if Melbourne lost the grand final to Port, you go, okay, fair enough, right? Whereas if they lose to any of the other teams, you'd start to go, what did Melbourne fuck up here to lose to these other teams?
But didn't you guys beat them this year? You've beaten them this year.
Yeah, we beat them in that period where they had a little poor patch, but they got good again pretty much immediately after, and we got shit.
I don't know about that. I think that if Geelong beat Melbourne, I could see that. I think Geelong or Port, and, you know, maybe the Bulldogs. I guess if they lose to GWS, that'll be the real embarrassment.
I mean, I guess the truth is that any team who gets there, if they get there, by the time they get there, they've made a compelling case that they can win it, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to imagine it now that the Bulldogs could make it or Geelong could make it, but for Geelong to get there, they're going to have to beat a whole bunch of good teams, and then you'd suddenly be like, well, if they've just beaten Port and they've just beaten blah, 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 of course they can beat Melbourne.
But I know what you're saying. It's like, of the two most impressive victories of the weekend, Port and Melbourne. But I think Melbourne's was, I thought Melbourne's was more impressive. I thought that Geelong were a bit more banged up than Brisbane, and I thought Brisbane were in the game. Like, that first quarter and a half, it seemed to be like goal for goal. And it was so, like, I'd actually forgotten how intense finals football is. Like, it was so quick and skillful, and just those two midfields going at it. Like, it was exciting. It was such a great game to watch. But then Melbourne just were like, all right, we're done now. And they did that Richmond thing where they just put the foot down and found a new gear. And it's like, the thing about Melbourne that is, like, frightening is that they are so skillful. Like, they do these passes. It's a bit like the Bulldogs, actually, when the Bulldogs are on song. But it's these insane kind of, like, switches across the ground, kicks into the middle, pinpoint passes where they just catch you up. And it doesn't matter, you know, if you can keep up with them, endurance or speed. They just change direction so quick and so fast, and they move it so quickly, and then they just don't miss. And
remember early in the season we were having a conversation about Christian Petrarca possibly being the best player in the competition?
Mm.
Christian Petrarca is not even the best player at Melbourne.
Yeah, I know.
Clayton Oliver is the best player in the league at the moment. Like, if you were picking right now and you needed to pick the best player in the league, he is, in my opinion, absolutely the best player in the league. Remember 2 years ago when he couldn't kick?
Yeah, they wanted to trade him.
Because he couldn't kick. And now he's just like kicking, like, across his body to open, like, at full speed, like, to open. But he's amazing.
Yeah. His body shape has changed a little bit, though, I think, don't you? He looks he's got more of that Bontempelli kind of greyhound. He used to be a bit thicker, like an inside midfielder, but now I think he's changed his body shape, and so he's covering the ground better. But yeah, he's such a good player, and he's just got that. There's a lot of, I think we're really fortunate to live in a time where we've got these amazing two-way midfielders at the moment who are inside, outside, can go and attack and kick a goal, but also defend. Like, we'll just go back with a fire of the ball. It's like, oh, this is exciting.
Well, yeah, watching Ollie Wines, Bontempelli, like Oliver, like all these guys go to work on the weekend, you were like, fucking hell. Like, the new guys are here, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, because there's still, you still got Boak and, like, guys like this, Lucky who are still Neil absolutely,
yeah,
superstars. But just that next generation of absolute like A-grade, you know, talent that are all sort of like under 25 is just amazing.
Are you coming around yet to Ben Brown in the red and blue?
Yeah, like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, me too.
I'm on board.
I'm like,
I like Melbourne. I was watching that game just thinking, I have no ill will towards Melbourne. Like, I think it would be great if they won. I think they're
don't you dare rewrite history.
No, no, as in, like, I'm saying, I absolutely did previously. It was amazing to me to be watching.
Is
it
this
going,
your mea culpa?
Yeah, okay, well, sure. Whatever it is, what I'm saying is that the emotion that passed over me as Melbourne sprinted away in that game was not one of me going, fuck, this is going to happen. It was one of me going, well, you know what? You're a really good team and you are very entertaining to watch and you've got a heap of superstars and like, yeah, there's why not?
Look, I agree, but there is a part of me as a Saints supporter because if Melbourne do win a flag this year, then we take the title as the longest flag drought. So there is part of me that's like,
yeah, but also the way that it's going, it's almost like a lock that you guys will win it soon. Like we've been knocking off all the droughts. We did the Swans and we did the Bulldogs and we did Melbourne, right? We'll get to you.
I like that. Yeah,
it's actually better.
And then obviously the last game was the Swans and the Giants and nothing really to talk about coming to that game. So moving on.
Here's what I will talk about is the Swans should have won that.
Yes.
If you're a Sydney fan, you would be, I think, very disappointed about
it. I can't believe they waited till the first week of finals to just kick terribly. I mean, they kicked like St Kilda's been kicking all year, but I haven't seen the Swans do that all year. It was and they weren't hard shots too. Like the Buddy one, people were like, oh, I can't believe Buddy missed. At least he was 50 out. I know he's Buddy, but that was a hard shot. But
he didn't miss by much. Like it wasn't like he shanked it. Like he literally just he missed. You know, but some of the other ones were
Giants fans, don't get pissed off because I'm on the bandwagon and I want to see you guys go as far as you can. But I saw a lot of Giants fans going like, what an amazing, like we toughed it out. And I'm like, you got lucky.
Yeah, so lucky.
Like I wasn't like you just ground it out and you slowed the game down. And
oh, no, I remember what they were claiming, but what they were claiming was absolutely not fucking true. No. Like the amount of celebration, there's a defining game for our club, is it? If your definition is be playing really well and then basically give the game away and only win by a point because the opposition couldn't kick a fucking goal out of the 25 attempts they had.
Yeah, it was a great game to watch. I really was, you know, that first half, they were all over them, but then they just ran out of steam. And then that last quarter was like, it was like that scene in Pulp Fiction where, you know, the hitmen are there, John Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson, the guy busts out and just fires a million shots and all of them miss. You're like, oh my God, what happened?
I mean, that happened.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that Buddy moment. I was just like,
such a Buddy moment.
Right. And he'd been playing well, like kicked a bunch of goals. Like it wasn't, you know, and you were just like, ah, here we go. This is what's going to happen. So GWS, I enjoy them too. I'm enjoying all these teams. That's what I am actually saying. I don't really have any team in this that if they got their shit together that I would really mind if they won it.
I mean, now that Richmond aren't in the equation, I think that maybe if I had to pick a team that I was least interested in seeing, it's Geelong, just because they've been there before. But you're right. Would love to see the Bulldogs go all the way, Giants. Port, yeah, I've got some affection for Port. Melbourne, for obvious reasons.
I mean, Port, you've got to admire the way they play. Like, they've got a bunch of guns as well. And all those young players are amazing. And
there's also that storyline. I didn't realise it. Charlie Dixon's 31. Travis Boak's an old man. Robbie Gray. It's kind of this. It's now or never. Well, not now or never, but with this current list, it's
well, for
or
Charlie
never.
And Robbie, I mean, Travis Boak will still be playing in 15 years, but...
listeners said to us they will offer us $100 if we don't talk about Toby Green the entire episode.
Oh, what happened to Toby Green? I switched off, so I've been busy.
There's been enough commentary around the incident, but what I have brought in is a Toby Green pocket profile.
Okay. Look, the only thing that I want to say about the Toby Green thing, because people don't need to hear our opinions about it, but all I will say is, again, the emotions that I just personally went through this week, I was like, wow, I'm really invested in Toby Green as a storyline. Because I did all the, like, you know, stages of, like, grief and whatever, where I was like Luke Hodge immediately, where I was like, oh, it's probably nothing and it's fine. Toby will play next week. It's good to have Toby playing the game. He's a superstar of the game. And then there was, like, a bit of me that was like, oh, yeah, that, he didn't even touch him. Oh, it's fine. I've seen the camera footage. Camera footage doesn't lie. Oh, here's another angle. Oh, fuck. Anyway, okay, you probably shouldn't touch the umpire. He's got to be out for 25 weeks. No, hang on. You know what? No, I'll go back the other way. I went on the whole fucking journey this week with what happened, and I still don't know if they made the right decision or if it was enough weeks or any of those sort of things. But I am very much looking forward to getting to know Toby Green.
My initial response was like, oh, he's fucked. Like, yeah. That was my gut reaction, was it just looked bad. And I think that
can't touch an umpire,
but I think it was just more like if you read the way the AFL council grilled him, the example he used was, if you're walking down the street and you bump someone with your shoulder like that, would you turn and apologize? And I'm like, well, that's the argument right then and there. Like, you wouldn't do that to someone on the street, let alone like an official in the game, when knowing that, I think it's in junior levels, it's automatically like a 6-week ban or 14-week ban if you do that in kind of, you know, junior levels.
So Toby's like, well, you wouldn't do that, but I once karate kicked Luke Dalhousie in the face, so.
All right. So how well do you think you know Toby Green?
Not at all, but I am very much excited to get to know him a little bit better.
Okay, this was done in 2019. But I think a lot of it's still relevant. I have read ahead. So if I could give you any kind of guide into the type of personality. Yeah,
please do.
Dry humor.
Okay.
Carl Barron not necessarily, is one of the
answers, clearly.
Not necessarily funny.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yep. It's just dry. Okay, so the first question, Will. What's his name?
Toby Green.
What's his nickname? And my clue is it's initials, but it's not TG.
Oh, okay. Is it a play on either of his names, Toby or Green?
I couldn't say. I mean, I'm assuming yes to one, but I can't be sure. I'll give you a clue. So the first initial is T. What is the second? So just give me another letter.
Is it TB?
Tuberculosis. It is not TB.
It is T.I. because he's a big fan of the
rapper T.I.
musician T.I.
No.
T.A. Tar, because he always says thank you.
It's
what is it?
T.F. Mm. What do you think that stands for? The only thing that comes is the fuck?
Freak.
What the fuck did you just do, Toby? That's what his teammates say.
Toby the fuck Green.
The fuck, Toby?
The just fuck?
Kicked Luke Dallas in the face. The fuck, Toby? Just pushed an umpire.
It's not even his nickname. He thinks it's his nickname. It's just what people say to him constantly. The fuck? He's like, oh, they love my nickname. It's the fuck. No, they're saying to you, Toby, what the fuck?
Do you have any pre-game superstitions or rituals?
No.
He does?
Yeah.
It's a skill. It's a skill that not necessarily AFL players, but you do see AFL players practicing this. It's in the movie The Karate Kid, yeah. The reason why Johnny Lawrence gets so angry when he arrives at the beach party is he sees Ralph Macchio doing this with his girlfriend, or teaching his girlfriend how to do this particular skill.
Cunnilingus?
Maybe that's what TF stands for. Tongue fucker. No. Do you know the scene I'm talking about?
No, I don't. I can't remember.
All right. I mean, this is the sport it comes from is soccer. Soccer players do this when they're warming up.
Bouncing a ball on his foot.
Yeah, keep-ups. He does 100 keep-ups before each game. You don't know Toby Green.
No.
This is a bad... You're starting like Geelong.
Yeah, bad start. Haven't zero, been close so far.
Naught and three. Okay, so the greatest individual effort you've seen on a football field. So it's a teammate that he plays with now, a prominent, probably one of the, I'd say like one of the top players at GWS, but he's been on the outer for a while. It's something that he did in the under 18s. Canalinkas. So give me a teammate and give me something
who's been on the outer.
Yeah.
So is it Stephen Cornelio?
It is Cogs. And he did something in the under 18s that was the greatest individual effort Toby TF had seen on a footy field.
Is it about an amount of possessions he got, or was it?
That's right. It's a simple. It's something that you do in a football match. It was a.
Amount of goals, amount of tackles.
No, it was the difficulty of something he performed.
The difficulty of something that he performed on the football field. I don't know.
Set shot. A Stephen Cornelio set shot in the under 18s.
Oh.
Okay.
So that could be a joke?
Knock? Could be. This is what I mean. It's dry. It's hard to get a read on.
Yeah.
I mean, this makes sense when you think about him. Mm. He's a bit of a serial killer. He's got that Cabbage Patch doll face. You can't really read what's going on behind those doll eyes, those black doll eyes. Okay. Who's a player from the team you'd love to play with and why? It's a Hawk. And the reason he says he'd like to play with him, it could be a backhanded compliment.
This
player at the Hawks is often criticized for his greatest attribute.
He's often criticized for, James?
No.
X-Swan. And he's at the Hawks. And he used
he's a Brown the medalist.
Swans. Oh, Tom Mitchell.
Tom Mitchell.
Because he would always handball it to me?
Correct. Because he shares it around a lot.
Yep.
So that sounds like a backhanded compliment, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know.
You think?
I've got no read on Toby Green so far. Absolutely no read of whether he's joking or not joking.
All right.
Maybe this is it. Maybe he's like, yeah, without wanting to joke about this, like maybe he's on some sort of spectrum.
Oh, yeah.
Like maybe his actions are misinterpreted and this is the cognitive dissonance that we are seeing between how he thinks and he sees the world versus the rest of the people and how they see the world.
Well, everything that I have read about him or people who work at the Giants or play at the Giants say that he is like lovely guy, doesn't drink, you know, very quietly spoken, very polite. They all love him. And then what he does in the field is a complete opposite to the personality he is off the field. Maybe. I mean, let's not be
no.
armchair.
No, armchair, I mean, let's not. We're not even armchair AFL commentators. Let's not broaden it out.
Okay, what is the best rule in footy? And this is a joke answer, and this demonstrates a bit of self-awareness. Are you familiar with a rule change that came into effect?
Is it like a Toby Green rule?
There's a Toby Green. Well, that's the answer. It's the Toby Green rule. That is the best rule in footy. What's the worst rule in footy?
Not being able to kick people in the head.
The Toby Green rule. See, you know what? You're starting to get inside the creepy, twisted mind of Toby Green. How many games of footy does he watch on a weekend?
Interesting. I have no read on whether Toby Green's watching a lot of football or no football.
I'll give you two options.
Yeah.
He watches one or he watches all of them.
He can't watch all of them. If he watches all of them, this is going to be I hope it is all of them, but I'm going to say it's one.
It's one. That would be really bizarre, wouldn't it? Like Batman in the Batcave. He just has all the screens on at once.
Just
absorbing the information like Bradley Cooper and Limitless.
Yeah. He's got 8 Foxtel subscriptions and then Cameron's like, you can just watch the games on different... He's like, no, this is how I do it.
Don't make me kick you in the face.
The fuck, Tony?
What's his favorite TV football show? And it's not one of the Foxtel ones. And I don't know if this is a joke answer again, because I've never heard of this football show. I'm just going to drop it into the Googlifier.
Okay.
To make it easier for you, this is a global sports channel.
ESPN?
Yes, that's it. ESPN FC. Have you heard of that football show?
No.
It's Premier League. Premier League. All right. We get you, Toby. We get you. Now, this is...
No, I do not get him at all. He is all over the shop as far as I can see.
Now, this is a good one.
Okay.
His favorite football commentator and why?
Oh, okay.
Now, I would argue that this person is not a commentator, but does comments on football. Comments on football without being a commentator. Doesn't call games.
Okay, so special comments.
No. Just... has opinions, and that's my clue.
Kane Corns.
Kane Corns. Opinions are like assholes. I mean, well, Kane Corns is one.
You know what? Twerp, recognize twerp.
Yeah. Okay. Favorite carb?
Pasta.
Yes. Correct. You didn't even have to think about that. Okay. Which teammate should appear on the next series of The Bachelor?
Okay. Harry Himmelberg.
Oh, that's a good guess. But let's just say that this guy would probably be good between the sheets.
Good between the sheets. is this a clue about sheets?
Correct. I believe we came up with this guy's nickname.
Oh, that we called Sheets. Who the fuck did we call Sheets?
Think, what are some famous brands of sheets?
Oh, Sheridan. Tommy Sheridan.
Tommy Sheridan. Sheets Sheridan. I don't know if they call him Sheets, but we certainly do. Teammate most likely to succeed after football and why? I believe previous, when we've done Himmelberg and stuff, he also named this player as been a pretty smart cookie.
Phil Davis.
No. He's ex-Fremantle player. Tagger. Could be South African.
De Boer.
Matt De Boer. which teammate belts out your club theme song with the most gusto? This guy doesn't play there anymore. I believe he plays for North Melbourne now, and he has a surname that 13-year-old boys around Australia always snigger at.
He's quite generous.
I don't think he's played many senior games. He was a top 10 draft pick.
But, Jared Stiffy.
Close. Aiden Boner. Or maybe it's pronounced Bonar. His favorite Netflix series, very appropriate. I don't know if he's been self-aware when he names this.
Breaking Bad.
Close. I mean, you're on the right track. The name of it could be a comment on him. It's a series that stars...
Justified.
Oh, I don't know who any of these people are. It's on Netflix. It stars Bill Pullman, Matt Bomer, and Jessica Biel.
No.
I mean, if you're not a saint, you might be...
Sinner?
The sinner.
The sinner.
Yeah. Do you think he's been self-aware there?
I don't know. I honestly have no idea.
I mean, I feel like you'd be in the interview room with Toby Green and you'd just be holding up the raw sharks. And he just like, the answers would just be like, where?
No bead. You get no bead on it.
No, you just be like, we're in the mouth of madness now.
Don't know what this is. This is like, I cannot.
I feel like I'm going insane just listening to him. is he an Apple Music or a Spotify man?
Spotify.
Correct. Does he play Fortnite?
No.
Correct. Will.
Favorite, what makes him laugh?
Favorite comedian.
Oh, favorite comedian? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, God. So, he has a dry sense of humor, so it's got to be Carl Barron.
It's Carl Barron. By the way, Carl Barron's been trending this week on Twitter. I'm not sure if you've seen that. There's been a
yeah,
on favorite.
Who's Australia's greatest ever comedian? Carl Barron.
I think the only respondents were AFL players.
Yeah, just Carl Barron. Dave Hughes was trending for entirely different reasons. I will say, I saw Carl Barron last week.
Did you?
Yeah, I was on a Zoom call with somebody else, and I had a bit of Carl was
have
there.
Have you so mentioned how often he's featured on this show?
I you know what the thing is? Like, I love Carl, and we're like very friendly, but I feel like I'd need about 3 hours to talk him through it. You know, like, it's not, I feel like if glib, I tried to just quickly summarize, it would not, I need time.
Yeah.
I'd be like, mate, are you comfortable? I got to run you through something.
Okay. What's his favorite animal and why? My clue to this would be probably not his favorite animal after 2019.
A dog. A bulldog. Oh, not 2019, sorry. Who did they lose to? Richmond, a tiger.
Tiger. Why does he love tigers?
Because he wishes he played there.
They're majestic.
They are majestic.
What's your favourite section of the AFL record? It's the dumb question. We've never had this one in a Pocket Profile before.
Unless it was Pocket Profile and we suddenly realized we were in a Pocket Profile inception with Toby Green.
No, it's the feature story. What's his favorite possession? Now, this makes me think, there's something going on in this guy's head. All right, his favorite possession is, it's a household item, normally, how do I describe this? It's a household appliance you use to make drinks more interesting.
No, a cocktail umbrella.
Non-alcoholic drinks. Kids love these.
Kids love them.
Yeah.
Ice cubes.
No, it's a soda stream. I couldn't think of anything. I should have found another. Another club? Well, how do you?
No. Like, in a million guesses, I wouldn't have got that.
All right, how's this for an answer? What's the best gift he's ever received? And he goes galaxy brain on this one.
The gift of life?
The gift of life. I think you actually know Toby. You're unwilling to admit how well you understand Toby Green. If you won Tetzlotto, what's the first thing you would buy? Strange answer. You wouldn't need to win Tetzlotto to purchase this. In fact, although, having said that, there'd be not a lot of these being sold at the moment.
They wouldn't be selling a lot of them at the moment. So, like a car, a boat, a plane, some form of transport.
Yeah, no, you got you there, but go way cheaper than any of those things.
A bike.
A plane,
a motorbike,
a plane ticket,
a plane ticket. He'd like to buy a plane ticket
with Tetzlotto winnings. What the fuck is going
Toby.
On?
They should have read this out at the tribunal. This would have got him off. I would have walked out and gone.
I got him off. I would have thought it would have got him convicted. It's like we need to lock this guy up and throw away.
I
the
think
key.
One way or the other.
Yeah,
I feel like it might have confused them so much. They're just like, you know what? Just play. We can't. We've got to sit down.
My head hurts. His favorite holiday destination
in Australia or overseas?
It's in Australia. I think it's a sleepy. I might be down near where you're from, actually. Oh no, it's on the Great Ocean Road. Okay, it's two words. Look, I'll just give you the second part. The second word is inlet.
Aries Inlet.
This seems like a long Pocket Profile. Who's the most famous person he's met? Bit of a joke answer. This guy works at the club, played for the Giants for a short time, but now I believe he's their forward line coach. A bit of a character himself.
Stevie J.
Who's the most famous person you'd like to meet? And this comes as no surprise. This man was famous for being violent, professionally, but also in his private life.
Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson.
Yes. What would your job be if you weren't a footballer? And this just like, this guy's an enigma. So it relates to having a plane ticket.
A pilot? A flight attendant?
No, more whimsical than that.
A traveler?
A travel blogger.
Oh.
What's the dream place to live in the world? And he would split his year between two famous cities, one in Australia, one in the United States.
So Sydney.
Yep.
And New York.
New York summer and a Sydney summer. Fuck, who? New York summer really stinks.
Yeah. What's love the smell of garbage. Does old TF.
The smell of homeless people piss. What scares you? And it's a knock on a guy who no longer plays there. His body part.
Oh. No, I don't know.
Jeremy Cameron's feet. And what is the one talent you wish you had?
The ability to keep my temper.
You'd like to play piano. Look, I knock out teeth. I just like to learn how to play teeth. I know, what are they? Keys. Fuck that up. It's late. We've been going. That Pocket Profile took a long time. I'm exhausted.
But
by
not
that.
Just a long time. It was like watching like a art house movie.
Yeah, it was
like
really...
your brain could never concentrate on where we were. You were like, who's this guy? Like, who's that? Is this a main character? Has he been in it before? How I felt about that Pocket Profile.
I feel like when this episode comes out, there is going to be a rash of like the people being found unconscious, and the only clue will be they're listening to two guys one cup. It's like, I don't know what happened. I was listening to my brain just shut off. Like,
it's like I told you just before we started that I got my second vaccine, this afternoon, and you said, "Is there any side effects?" If there is tomorrow, I won't know if the side effects are from the vaccine or from that Pocket Profile.
Did you ever see that episode of the X-Files? And they were on the hunt for this kind of like terrorist, and this guy's ability was he would start talking to you. And it was almost like he would hypnotize you through he would just talk these sort of mundane things. He'd just tell you like a mundane story and he could control your mind. Like, so he'd make FBI agents like walk off a cliff or whatever. I feel like that's what happened in the Pocket Profile. It's like you and I have read it and now we both feel real. I feel like we've watched the video in The Ring. I feel quite unnerved.
I know. Within a week, one of us is going to get kicked in the face by Toby Green.
Well, before that happens, let's get to our mailbag. And if you want to send us some mail, you can. We're on Twitter at 2guys1cupAFL on Twitter, and also on Instagram at 2guys1cupAFL on Instagram. Every Thursday on Instagram, we do our tips at 5 p.m. on Instagram Live. So go to the 2guys1cup page on Instagram Live to watch our tips at 5 p.m. tomorrow. But in the meantime, you can send us mail or correspondence at Twitter. So the first question is from Art Deco again. Saying, hey, do you think AFL head office is just a little happy that they've been able to get the finals away from the MCG? It reduces the MCG's stranglehold and bargaining power and helps showcase showcase the Australian, not just Victorian game.
I believe it's great that we have this time where it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to change the stranglehold very much. Like, I think that, there's that contract that they have at the MCG, and I think the AFL, the AFL is based in Melbourne, so there's all the teams in Melbourne. There's always going to be that connection there. But I'd love that in this time, if we come out of COVID, at the other end of the sport and we've managed to have like a Queensland Grand Final and a Perth Grand Final, I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm all for
it. In a bad situation, that is an upside.
I don't know that the AFL would necessarily be secretly happy about this because in the end, they're just trying to make money and they would love to get 100,000 at the G and all the corporate sponsors and blah, blah, blah. But I think that maybe some good can come out of this. I mean, if it encourages kind of you know, I guess state bodies to start building bigger stadiums all around the country and we can rotate it around. And
I mean, there's got to be a bit of, if you live in Western Australia, that you've got to go, COVID's not been that bad for us.
Yeah.
Like most of the time you just live your life really normally. You haven't been bothered by people from the eastern states and you got a grand final.
Yeah, you've just come out of Just Jeans. You got yourself a new shark's tooth necklace. You're on the way to pay $15 for a coffee. Things are pretty good in Perth.
I mean, things are pretty good in Perth.
This is from Sam. Kane Twerp Corns was on the most recent Dylan Friends episode. During this, he brought up that his favorite form, and also he thinks the best form of comedy, is self-deprecating humor. What are your thoughts on this? Well, is he saying he's self-deprecating, or he just likes it in people he finds funny, like Carl Barron? Because I don't think I've ever seen Kane Corns be funny ever.
No, not intentionally.
No. Anthony wants to know, the West Australian Premier has finally found a way to keep Eddie out. What can we do now about keeping Eddie off our TVs?
Did you see this story?
Yeah.
Eddie couldn't get into Western Australia?
Yeah, because he's not. There's no official capacity. He'd not been in any official capacity, yeah.
He would be surprised to learn that there are rules that he can't get around. I think I was surprised, but the Western Australian Premier felt like he had a point to prove as well, didn't he?
He's not fucking around, is he, at all? Justin says, Roy and HG have the concept of class A citizens for whom the standard rules don't apply. Given that Eddie's been locked out of WA, who in the AFL adjacent community would you give class A citizenship to? Eddie Betts, I reckon he should be able to go over.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would love if they could get a few like retiring players for a parade.
Yeah.
And I think that if
Sean Burgoyne, Eddie Betts.
Sean Burgoyne and Eddie Betts.
Yeah, they're class A.
You know what? The list should only be people that Charlie Cameron has tweeted about.
Yeah, totally.
If they are good enough to make the cut for Charlie Cameron's Twitter feed, they're good enough to get across the border.
Hey, Storm Boys, got some good news. You can get out of Victoria. You've been flown to the Optus Stadium for the grand final. Why? Apparently, Charles Cameron
there was a list. Charlie's list.
How does Will feel about Carl Barron trending this afternoon based on the question, who's your favourite Australian comedian?
I feel like that is pretty appropriate. Carl Barron is, like, if not the greatest ever Australian comedian, certainly a good person to have in that conversation.
Scott wants to know, who is the most hated AFL player at the moment? Is it Selwood or Waitman? I think it was just mainly Bombers fans, salty Bombers fans who are angry at Cody Waitman. Did you see? There was an article, it's like, Josh Bruce responds to trolls in hilarious fashion. And I was like, oh, great. And then I checked it out and it's like, so he wrote good one, mate, under one comment and under another one and your thumbs up emoji. It's like, well, he's hardly bloody taking him down. It's not like, you know.
I watched, this is very AFL adjacent, but Tim Heidecker, Tim and Eric.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was him. It was a few weeks ago. But it was a reaction video to this video that had been posted, like Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher's hilarious response to their kids being like, you know, like to bathing their kids or whatever. And it was presented in that same fashion. And then Tim just watches the video and decides whether he thinks it is indeed hilarious or not. And look, I know it's no spoilers, but the video of him doing that is hilarious.
JD wants to know, if the Dogs make the grand final, can I have Will's tickets? Well, that's interesting. What happens to the allocation of tickets? They're just null and void, I guess.
I mean, you know, I guess if you're a member who like lives in Western Australia, or if you're a member who is willing to go over and quarantine for 2 weeks, like if you were a Melbourne like member and supporter and you're like, well, this does not come along very often, I have the time and I have the finances to, you know, run the risk of going and like staying there for 2 weeks and not working out. You know, if I put it this way, if it was back in the old days and I wasn't working and it was the Bulldogs and I had the time and the money to be able to do that and like you thought it was a chance, I reckon I'd be tempted to just go, all right, I'll just go and stay over there for 2 weeks.
Are the tickets there? I mean, if the Bulldogs got in, have they still got their allocation to hand out, or do they because it's at Optus, has that changed things? Because I know
there'd be an AFL allocation to the playing teams. Just because it's still? At Optus Stadium doesn't mean that they're not going to give the teams some tickets. Well, who are they going to give the tickets to?
Because otherwise, because they want to get a full house there, they're not going to hold back 20,000 tickets or 10,000 tickets for Bulldogs fans.
But they're not the only two options for allocating tickets. You could just allocate a smaller amount of tickets.
Yeah, that's a good point. The Saints president sent out an email last week just for summing up the season, blah, blah, blah. Thanks for your support. And then at the very end was like, look, you know, we understand it's been a really disappointing year. People weren't able to get to games. So if you'd like to discuss reimbursement, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Don't bring it up. You got away with it, mate.
You got away with it. Keep your bloody mouth shut. Like, I didn't know. I was stunned. I mean, you know, but then part of me was like, this is genius, because all the response I saw online was Saints fans going, no way, like, keep the money. It was like brilliant reverse psychology. It was like the fact that you're rolling the dice, man. It's been a tough year for a lot of people. I was just like, take the fucking money. This is from History of NL. Says, give Jono Brown 5 beers. He'd be the perfect rubber replacement on 360. It has been interesting watching all the people go into the chair, Rui and Brownie. And I think Jason Dunstall is a good replacement for Robbo. The closest. You can't replace Robbo.
But you can't. Jason Dunstall has that. I think that's been one of the real stories of the season, is how much I've missed Robbo.
Yeah.
Like, there is something about that dynamic that, like, can't be replicated by someone, you know, more intelligent or sober.
And if you want to know what it is about Robbo that is so unique, Scott Dooley did a brilliant thread yesterday that we retweeted on the Two Guys, One Cup page, where he did basically a script of how a Robbo bit goes, and it is perfect. It is absolutely note perfect. The way he flicks through the newspaper while he's trying to compose a thought, he gets indignant and he'll thump the desk. You know, he'll say that he's not going to name check someone, then he immediately name checks that person.
Maybe they need to get Dools to write the script for the other fill-in host.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Gavin wants us to build a team of villains, Toby Green, Selwood, Lindsay Thomas, etc. Whipping boys may need... Oh, hang on. Oh, no, he's responding to someone else. No, that's a question. Build a team of villains, Toby Green, Selwood, and Lindsay Thomas. Whipping boys may need to be used as well, Stanley, Jack Watts, etc. That's going to take way too long. We can't build a team of, like, whipping boys and villains. That's an entire episode in itself. Sorry, Gavin.
Yeah, but what if Tasmania, that was their bit?
Oh, that's a good idea.
We're going to be literally the Tassie Devils. So they call it the Tassie Devils, and they recruit all the most devilish players from the other teams.
Michael wants to know, should we all start believing in Port Adelaide? Yes, I think so.
Possibly.
Mork wants to know, should GWS sit out Tom Green for 3 weeks, then play Toby Green and then blame it on a clerical error?
Yes, give it a go.
Why not?
Absolutely give it a go.
A lot of questions about who are the biggest heels, who are the most loathed players. Again, Cody and Toby get mentioned again. Okay, Alex says, if you put Cody Waitman in Point Break, given the attributes he displayed on the field, how would he fit into the story? That's a weird question.
No, I actually think that Surf Gang missed. Like, for me, I always think of pissed.
Anthony Kiedis. That would be a waste of time.
Yeah, so but what I always love about those, like, you know, when you watch any of those things about, like, you know, the Stacey Peralta thing, right?
Yeah.
There's always, like, a skater who's, like, you know, 8 years younger than all the other skaters, but is just, like, a genius skater. I feel like that's going to be the same in the crime gang. So, and a more modern president's face.
A lot of people baiting Mark Lacroix to visit the show. Will Mark Lacroix be the Premiership Cup ambassador? Or was Mark Lacroix pissed off about Toby Green? He was feisty.
What I would say is, now that the grand final is in Perth, I think we can guarantee at our post-grand final show Mark Lacroix will probably at least give us some sort of report of the day from the local perspective.
Yeah, okay, that's a good point. He can be the boundary rider for the post-grand final show. What changes would you like to make for the league? How long have you got? None, actually. I've been quite happy with... I think I liked the stand the mark rule. I think it... I know a lot of people said it didn't change anything. I think it did. I know it wasn't the goal fest that everyone wanted, but I think it did open up the game a bit.
I like... I like everyone, I'd like to see more goals. I mean, I think everybody wants to see more goals, but I think that football's been a lot better. Like, I've enjoyed it a lot more this year than in the previous few.
Oh, yeah, of course. We haven't even talked about Collingwood's new coach,
Craig McRae.
Oh,
yeah, right. Yeah,
Craig McRae, you know. Triple premiership player Craig McRae, who like Dan Asprey. Daniel Asprey, is that his name? David Asprey? The Richmond triple premiership player, who I didn't realize played in three premierships. Congratulations. Good luck to you, sir. I understand that you're a good guy.
He does seem like a good guy. Everybody seems to think that he's a good guy. From I've heard Jonathan Brown say more than once this week that Craig McRae used to organize the footy trips for the Brisbane Lions. So he'll be good at getting around the boys.
Oh, getting around the boys. What do you think? Do you think this is a bit of a poison chalice going to Collingwood? The thing is, taking on like Gold Coast, that's a tough ask because it's like Gold Coast. But at least when you arrive at Collingwood, I know there's a lot of scrutiny, but you've got the best facilities. You've got, you know, the Herald Sun behind you, at least at the start. You've got all the supporters and stuff. Like, there's worse places to land, right?
Well, we're at the point in the story where there's two ways that it can go, right? Like, which is, it's an absolute rubble. Everything's, you know, gone to pieces, you know, and you've been through all that. And now you're the one who gets to come in and have a fresh start and help rebuild it. And there's great opportunity in that. And there's probably momentum. They've actually, weirdly enough for Collingwood, they've gone through the process. They took their time. They actually haven't had the board spill that everybody thought was going to happen. Like, there might be still stuff to come, but like, they got through the season. They managed to have a reasonably, you know, dignified parting with, like, you know, Nathan Buckley at the end of it. And they've gone through a process and appointed, like, a sensible choice as a coach that everyone seems to admire and think has great culture and is, like, got this great experience in a whole bunch of different facets of the game that they probably need at Collingwood at the moment. Like, for a club that is dealing with culture issues and football issues, he feels like a really smart choice. Yeah. And then Carlton, on the other hand.
I was just going to say, like, the best thing that happened to Collingwood's search for a coach was Carlton, because all the attention went off them.
Man, like, Carlton, are they, their process is, what is their process, Charlie? Because
their process, like, was designed by Toby Green. It makes about as much sense as a Toby Green.
They put a pretend review in place to sack a guy, which is the sort of thing you'd do if you'd had some replacement for that guy.
Mm.
But I don't know if they do yet.
No. Well, it felt like they thought they were going to get Clarko, and then I reckon Clarko got cold feet.
I think that they thought they were going to get Ross Lyon, and that was all locked in.
I thought Ross Lyon was the fallback.
No, see, what I think happened, and again, I have no inside knowledge. This is just my reading of it. So remember about a week or two before the end of the season, Ross Lyon finally went on TV and kind of made a play for the Carlton job.
Mm.
I'd been listening to him on Triple M previous to that, when there'd been speculation around him and Carlton. And he seemed to be playing in like a pretty, like, it was good to be courted. He kind of felt like he knew something. They would joke around about him not being there the next year. And he kind of, you know, he'd be funny about it. But there was this sort of sense in your mind of going, I reckon they've talked to him. I think that, like, this job is his. And then he had that, he went on TV and kind of almost like made a case for the job. I think that it was going to be him, and it was always going to be him. And then Carlton saw that Clarko was available.
Right.
And Carlton was suddenly just like, I mean, I know.
We're committed to this guy.
But that is a better option over there. So we're committed to him.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's what's happened. And now so you think that's it's been long enough for the board to get split over whether Ross is the right choice or not. I think they had the deal done and they have fucked it up because they thought they could do better.
It's almost like the club has Terry Wallace themselves.
Yeah.
Like when Terry Wallace thought he was going to Sydney, and they're like, you know what? I think we want to stick with Paul Roots. Except the club has done it, not the coach.
Oh, yeah. They've done it all to themselves.
Yeah.
Like, they put in a review. They announced the review of a job. Like, can you imagine, Charlie?
Yeah, I mean, do you think they'll ever release the review, the findings from the
No.
review?
Only the ones they'll leak. The ones that they need to be.
I'm typing up the review right now on my invisible typewriter.
I mean, what a disgrace as a fucking club. Imagine if someone came into your workplace like halfway through and said, "We're doing a review of this show." You're like, "Well, you're going to sack me. I understand that. Why don't you just tell me?" They did that all season. They made him coach under those circumstances. They gave him the least dignified. If you know you're getting rid of him, tell him a week beforehand. Give him some fucking dignity. Don't make him do exit interviews with people because you've suddenly realized we might need to leave. And then, so they get him to do 2 days of exit interviews and then tell him he's sacked. What the fuck are you doing? Yeah. Like, it is. And then what's happened since with the Lion stuff, and now they're going, "Oh, well, now we're gonna do a proper process." Yeah. What? What's happening now?
And the thing is, and like, what coaches want to going to go there now? Like Alistair Clarkson, Ross Lyon would be like, "Jesus fucking Christ."
Well, I think Ross Lyon had already decided to do it, is my gut instinct. So I think he probably will take it if they give it to him. But
do you think still?
Yeah. Because I think that Ross, like, is realistic enough to know that his options aren't going to be endless. Like, if Clarko's back in the game next year, maybe Nathan Buckley's floating around. Like, Ross isn't a guaranteed lock to coach again. Like, if the opportunity comes up, I think Ross should take it.
And I think we should end the show now. Don't forget, tips tomorrow, or today when you listen to this. Well, you know what I mean. Thursday afternoon, 5 p.m. Instagram Live. You'll find out all our tips, and we'll be back again next week with another episode of Two Guys, One Cup. Play on, not 15.
Well. We are.